Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday. So welcome to another weekly edition of What Comes Next Live. My guest coming to me from, I assume, Scotland, Laurel, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh, the city of my birth, and I've not been there for a year, so I do miss it with the pandemic. Laurel Quinn, Chief Executive of Sustainably.
Yes.
And Laurel is widely known in the entrepreneurial community in Scotland. And so we've not actually met before, so I'm really interested in hearing from her on what comes next. So over to you to tell us a bit about yourself and what's on your mind, Laurel.
Thanks so much for having me today, Tom. Yeah, it's actually been snowing here today, and it's now sunny, so yeah, I don't know what's going on with the weather, but never mind. So what comes next? Well, I'm Laurel, the CEO and co-founder of Sustainably, which is a fintech for good company. And we just make it really easy for you to have a positive impact as part of everyday life. So we turn people's cashless transactions into impact. You just connect your card to the Sustainably app and then go about living your life, and you can help protect the rainforest, help the oceans, help people who are homeless, do kind of anything that you want, and track your impact over time. So we're all about creating a positive impact. And I actually co-founded Sustainably with my daughter, who is our chief product officer. Mm-hmm. And last week we were both on the Innovate Finance Women in FinTech Power List, in the standout 35, which was pretty amazing, because I remember when we started Sustainably and kind of looking at people on these types of lists and thinking, wow, that's incredible. But so we've made it then. we've made it in fintech, but it's really good to be a kind of role model and doing something positive.
Cool.
And just, you know, supporting some really great causes.
Well, first of all, congratulations on that latest achievement. I did look you up online. There's a lot of those. So well done to both you and your collaborator and chief product officer, and we're wearing another hat, daughter.
Yeah.
I'm just envisioning going into business with one or more of my three sons, and it would be very cool. So Sustainably, mechanically, if I'm a user of it, an app, I guess, open banking, I mean, you know, what does it cost me, and how does it work? Give me a bit of the granularity for a minute.
Yeah. You go to the Sustainably app in the App Store, Android or Google, Android or Apple rather, and mm-hmm. you choose the cause that you care about, and then you connect your card to Sustainably if you want to do roundups. You mm-hmm. can set a limit on how much you want to give each month, just if you kind of want to mm-hmm. Not kind of overspend. And then every time you give, you get an instant update saying what's happening with your money. We do not take fees on donations. We do use Stripe for the payment processor, so there is a fee connected to that which comes out of your donation. But if you're eligible for gift aid, that gets you can set that up in Sustainably once, and then it gets added onto all of your donations. So from a charity's perspective, it's a really great way for them to access a new income stream from cashless transactions at a low cost. So that's how it works. It's pretty simple. Or you can give something called monthly happiness, which is an amount on a date each month. And every time you give again, you get the instant impact update saying what's happening with your money. You can pause it or change it all whenever you like. And we don't share your personal data, so you don't kind of get asked to give more. It's kind of all about giving on your own terms. Gift aid and all that's added automatically onto all your donations. We're adding in lots of other ways to give as well, so it will be like a central place for all your giving, so you can mm-hmm. see all your impact, and that will include the retailer that you shop at being able to give to what you care about when you shop there, and your employer. So we're kind of working on that just now. We just closed a round on Crowdcube, getting around 400 new investors into the business through that. So
yep, I was one of them.
Yes, thank you.
A tiny wee amount. I do that a lot.
Well, thank you for that. So that was really good. So yeah, we're just moving forward, bringing in more good causes, and starting our partner marketing program. We just brought in a growth lead into the business.
It's funny, I was watching Dragon's Den the other night.
Yeah.
And the people I was watching it with were driven nuts by me hammering the pictures within about 10 seconds, right, through the television.
Yeah.
I was the vice chair of a business angel network in the Cayman Islands many years ago. And we actually shut it down when all of the Dragon's Den and what do they call it? Shark Tank, they call it in the US.
Mm-hmm.
When they started bringing this up, because people were so intimidated to come in and be asked all the tough questions by people who've done it before. So I'd have a million questions for around it. However, it's rather than do that, you've been doing this, having looked online, you've been doing this for 2 or 3 years, I guess. And it seems such an obvious win at all levels, but it's not remotely mainstream yet.
Yeah.
So what's, you know, and I imagine it is exhausting. You mentioned you kind of ran onto this call from a conversation with an investor, and you know, it's that thing about raising money, et cetera. But for something that seems so, you know, flipping obvious that it's a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
What's next, and what will scale this for you?
Yeah, I think for us it's all about getting the visibility, and now that we are starting this partner marketing program, we've got some really massive good causes on the platform. We want them to start activating their supporters and promoting it to new audiences as well. So for us, it's about using those existing networks. So all the charities that we have, they have millions of supporters. And the employers and retailers that we're working with, again, have millions of employees and customers. So we'll be kind of leveraging their networks as a route to market, because you're right, absolutely. When you come in as a startup, you don't have huge budgets for spending on advertising, nor do you want to spend on all your money on customer acquisition. So the route for us is partner marketing through B2B2C, and we have those networks. We just need to activate those partners. And because it is in the interests of those, for example, the huge charities who have lost lots of revenue last year, there is a real sort of impetus on them, and they want to access a younger demographic who are, you know, tech first, use apps, are cashless, all that kind of stuff. And obviously all the demographics are going cashless now, which has obviously been moved forward.
We tend to have a very tiny live audience. It's mostly podcasts afterwards, so therefore they're audio listeners unless they watch the video, which is saved on the website. But for the audio audience, that sound you heard in the background is Laurel's dog snoring.
Yes, my dog is snoring dramatically.
Fairly dramatically, it was excellent. So I wish for that level of Zen contentment myself.
Well, a few minutes ago he was being extremely annoying, so I'm quite glad he's gone to sleep. He's on the sofa just snoring away to himself. So, yeah.
So I can't help myself. I'm going to ask you a question around it. To play it from a different angle, what if I didn't want to do the work of setting it up? What if I didn't want an update every single time? What if I just wanted to set it and forget it?
You can.
The idea is, and the linked thought to that.
Yeah.
I'm fixing up the house I bought a few months ago, so I find myself going to Screwfix quite a lot. I'm not sure if they have those up in Scotland.
Yeah, they do.
And they always give the option, and it's all click and collect now, they always give the option to round up.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to charity, but what about saving them the work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what if I simply said, look, I want to give X pounds a month to this charity, done.
Yeah, and that's basically what we do. So you can either kind of look at your impact and sort of track it all, or it kind of just automatically happens in the background when you shop. So there's no disruption at the point of sale. It doesn't say to you, do you want to give to cause X that you don't care about? It's actually what you care about. You do the roundup, and then it enables the brand to localize and personalize their social responsibility to what their customer or employee actually cares about, and gives them all the data that shows the impact of them as a brand and their wider community. So for businesses, it is all about simplicity and getting visibility, because when that business gives to the cause you care about, it will actually pop into your impact feed. So you'll actually see that. And it will be aligned to what you care about. Rather than if you go in, for example, and they say, do you want to kind of support, I don't know, let's say Save the Children, but you might actually have a really, you know, passion for Rainforest Trust or something else, for example, that you want to give to.
Yeah.
So it kind of enables you to kind of be in control of your giving and for brands to like have that more meaningful connection. Because oftentimes when you kind of, businesses do a lot in terms of CSR, but a lot of it is invisible. And also if it is visible, it doesn't often resonate with the person that they're trying to kind of connect and engage with.
Yeah, I mean, without naming them, I'm familiar with several major retailers who do that kind of thing. You choose who you're going to, your part will go to, et cetera. Let's imagine that, and let's not imagine, let's not hope it's not imagination, but let's just forecast that you get to a point in the reasonably near future where you've hit all your goals and your targets and it's done.
Yeah.
It runs itself. I'm interested in what you were just celebrating for yourself and your colleague, chief product officer and daughter. What do you see for, you talked about being a role model for women in leadership roles and in finance.
Yeah.
What about that? You know, what if I just waved a magic wand and your business was completely covered? It's all done. All your goals, your purpose achieved, your goals achieved.
Yeah.
What do you see as the opportunities and gaps for women in leadership?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are more like Steve CEOs than there are like female CEOs. For example, there's kind of some really, you know, there's some huge glaring holes in how, from a societal level in terms of kind of where females are and in terms of running businesses, for example. But I think from my perspective, obviously, if we were to kind of have sustainably as a massive global successful business, we would have managed to solve a lot of the issues that we're trying to solve with the causes that we are partnering with. So we wouldn't have things like, you know, climate change, everybody would be carbon neutral or carbon negative, for example. And, you know, there wouldn't be dramatic issues, problems with the oceans, and there wouldn't be kind of massive poverty or, inequalities. Those things wouldn't exist. So I think we have got a serious amount of work to do, obviously, given to where we are right now. So we really want to help raise awareness of all the issues, but also get people more in the thought frame that actually they can contribute towards, you know, fixing some of these things. And these are not unfixable. They're not kind of challenges that are out with the scope of human, you know, can fix it. So for me, it's about helping people just understand that there's small things that can be done every single day and that everyone has a part to play. Mm-hmm. If I did get to the sort of that place where we had managed to solve all of that, I think I would be in a pretty zen space.
Well, let me challenge you a bit though, because
if
I change the constraints I'm giving you, so one is an enabling constraint of sustainably doing its thing, right?
Yeah.
The framing that you then went to is vast, right?
Yeah, that is vast.
And there is much we can all do.
Yeah.
And we all have, as somebody I know reasonably well, Nilufer Merchant, has this concept of onlyness. We all have our unique and only place that we stand in the world. If collectively we can bring awareness and take action and move towards a more sustainable world, and whether it's donut economics or whether it's anything Greta Thunberg's talking about, or it's everything, or it's, you know, everything we can look at.
Yeah.
What's your place in that?
Yeah. Wow. You're getting quite philosophical here, Tom. I think I've always thought there wasn't limits. I never kind of grew up thinking there was any limits on what you could achieve. And don't get me wrong, I was not like a confident in my own abilities. It's just that I kind of thought that if you worked hard, you could really just try hard and kind of keep going for it. So I think, I guess I'm sort of testament to that. I mean, I was a single parent and I'm not kind of coming at it from the, you know, poor me scenario. I feel like blessed in many ways that I've had the, the sort of resilience and mm-hmm. like, you know, having a kid and kind of just made me even more, you know, I'm going to do something good with my life type thing. I've had loads of challenges, but I think it's the ability to get up every day, dust yourself off, think, right, I'm going to get up. There's a new thing. Today's a new day. It's a new opportunity. Let's get, you know, beep. Let's get stuff done. You know, let's make things happen. So it's just, I think for me, it's just being, trying to maintain that positivity and, mm-hmm. you know, focus, because obviously there's a lot of things that are going on, but you have to like be in the frame that you're going to help fix this and not kind of let things get to you, because it can. And obviously, you know, we've been we're in a pandemic, you know, there's been a lot of challenges. So, and it does, you know, it does get to you, and everyone has experienced it. So yeah, just trying to be positive and all of that and help other people.
I mean, I'm being a little bit non-specific, in terms of being philosophical, but one of my past guests is a friend of mine, Danny Coleman, and I was drilling into leadership lessons she might have learned, because she was the head of hazard management for the Cayman Islands, which dealt with the pandemic mm-hmm. quantum levels better than Scotland, England.
Yeah.
And they had to run a national emergency operations center, which normally be open for a hurricane for like a week.
Right.
Something like 6 months every single day in mm-hmm. crisis, 24/7 crisis mode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, so what did you learn? What did you apply? All this stuff. Because mm-hmm. she's a very accomplished crisis manager.
Yeah.
I gave up after 10 minutes because she was just so positive, right? Mm-hmm. And just bringing that positive energy to people, a huge challenge. So just, you talked about resilience and positivity and not being, putting it in my words, not being a victim. Mm-hmm. Circumstance, and just going, okay, where am I? How can we get things done? How can we keep our eyes on the prize? And sometimes it's as simple as that, you know. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so that's absolutely to be honored. And mm-hmm. I think there's that entrepreneurial piece that I always talk about. In every challenge, there's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And it can be tough. I mean, I think one of the things that's been wonderful in the last year is that the stigma around talking about anxiety or mental health and stuff has not gone away.
Yeah.
But it's certainly radically diminished.
Yeah.
Because we've all suffered at some level in the last year at different times. It's called being human, right? So,
totally.
I took you on a bit of a ramble. What else comes to mind for you right now?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're in the sort of process of we've just closed our Crowdcube round. We're going to be looking at doing a larger round later in the year so we can create our first multi-language version of Sustainably, which is exciting, to service some of those global charities and then to start looking at international markets as well. So I'm continuing on the conversations with VCs. I've just started using Clubhouse. Have you tried Clubhouse?
I did try. Yeah, that's for people who haven't got into it. It's one thing is it's not that inclusive because it's only for iPhone users.
It's only for iPhone users and it's kind of invitation only. So
it's invitation only at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not really for me. It's like I need to devote a lot of time to it. In a channel, but it's basically people go in a room and mm-hmm. listen to a conversation and can be asked on stage.
So I was on stage the other day, speaking with one of the entrepreneurs in residence at 500 Startups who had met Garbgrind a few years ago when we set out on this crazy journey that we're on. But yeah, that's kind of a place that a lot of investors are congregating now. So there's a lot of interesting conversations going on in there. But so I'm kind of getting my head around that. But I've got a big demo day coming up for the impact accelerator that we're on called Hatch Collab, which is based in Switzerland. So I'm kind of working on that at the moment. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting things happening and definitely lots of work that we're going to start doing with some of the charities and then launching the business platform, which will be super exciting. So there's a lot of things happening simultaneously, which is obviously the life of an entrepreneur, juggling all of that and kind of trying to remain sane whilst also I've got the dogs. There's another one as well, which I'll be walking them shortly, which hopefully it won't be snowing for that.
It's actually, I'm in the southern edge of London is where I live, and it's snowing here right now. So
really?
Yeah. There's a certain surreal nature to that in April, you know. Yeah. I was one of the guys I follow online. A lot of my family's from the Isle of Lewis, and one of the guys I follow online is the farmer up there. In fact, he did a hysterically funny thing with Ramesh, the comedian, last year, where they just palled about and he took him around the Western Isles, made him go swimming, and didn't realize how cold the water is there. But he couldn't, it's the middle of lambing season and they've got snowdrifts in Lewis.
Oh no.
It historically very rarely snows in Lewis, but going to the topic of climate, climate change has seen the Gulf Stream drop southwards.
Right.
Which means that the Gulf Stream waters that used to pass off the coast of Lewis, which meant that in the first 25 years my grandparents retired back there in the 70s, it didn't snow at all in the winter.
Right.
And now it snows quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because the weather patterns have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be interesting to see kind of what happens with COP26. And kind of, you know, I guess obviously being in Scotland, if that's going to go ahead and in Glasgow, it'll be interesting to see how businesses and people will be kind of rallying around that and what positive change will hopefully come from that too. Yeah.
So basically you've got it on an app. People can contribute, make it super easy.
Yeah.
And they can get some, you know, work out where their money goes. They can also, other people can see what works for them, the companies, et cetera, charities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and on a broader sense, this is clearly something you're focused on. Right. Who else is doing good work in this space?
So there's a lot of kind of different ways to give to good causes at the moment. Obviously you've got like things like Facebook Donate, and then you've got Amazon Smile, and you can sign up to payroll giving and all this different stuff, but there's just too many things that people have to remember to do. So what we're doing is just really simplifying it. And don't get me wrong, all of those things are amazing and great, but for people who want to just be able to give to something without filling in all their details, track their impact, all that kind of stuff, get the benefit of like an Amazon Smile, but wherever you shop, without signing up to multiple things, it's kind of, it could get crazy because people don't just shop in one place, right? So we're just creating a simple way that retailers can sign up, and then wherever you shop, they can have a simple impact through no technical integrations. They just got access to data that shows their impact as a brand and the impact of their wider community. So it's all about simplicity, removing all the friction and enabling brands to connect and engage in more meaningful ways. And essentially what we're doing is just turning everyday payments into positive impact.
Cool.
And that's a really simple win when you think about the volume of cashless transactions and what difference that could make.
I went into a cafe the other day. I went for a walk with a client. I walked into the cafe to get us two coffees to go, you know, following the rules. And it was a real greasy spoon calf, styrofoam cups. But they said, there's a sign up there saying cash only. And I went, oh wow. I don't even have my wallet with me, let alone cash.
Yeah.
I just paid with my phone. Luckily my client had, had cash with him. But that's been transformational, really. I mean, London became cashless far more than the rest of the UK because
absolutely
when they moved the transportation system to contactless cards a few years ago.
Yeah.
People just started doing it. And now it's like, I've been to the ATM once in the last year.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. It's just, if you don't need to go and get cash, it's just another inconvenience, isn't it? So,
I'd be in favor of being more radical and actually insisting and using some, you know, government policy. You know, we still do a really, really poor job of recycling our rubbish in the UK compared to, say, the Scandinavian countries who 20 years ago, when I used to visit a friend over there, they were recycling bottles and getting like stamps out in the supermarket. You take these stamps, you cash them at the till. really simple process over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember the first minister went across there a few years ago, went, this is a great idea, we should do this. And I'm going, A, it's been done for 20 years, and B, several years later, nothing has happened. And Scotland is typically more forward-looking than England. I was in a council area with the lowest council tax in the UK before I moved, and all you did, you put out one clear bag a week with all your recycling in it. And I'm thinking they're probably just sticking it in an incinerator. Yeah. So we do have a long way to go, but in a really small, not in a really small, but in a way that can scale, it's nice to see that you're building something and that you have the resilience to keep going, because the startup journey is a difficult one. You just need to get that moment of transformation that just has it take off.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a real roller coaster, and it's not for the faint-hearted, that is for sure. But yeah. So if, you know, kind of we've set out to do something and we're definitely determined to do it. So watch this space for future updates.
Well, I think what I pick up from you is this sense of doggedness of like, sorry, it's horrible pun, since there's
well, there is a dog in your life.
But, you know, resilience, positivity, and, you know, it's a great idea. Mm. And it's got a lot of recognition, but you haven't yet got to that level of scaling.
Yeah.
And, you know, many startups never make it, as you'll know. You've been doing this for several years, and it's a really, you know, duh moment, as my teenage kid would say. Mm-hmm. But yes, to have a determination, I think that's inspiring for people.
Yeah.
If you believe in something, keep going. Until one of two things happens, either it takes off, mm-hmm. or you get to the point where it isn't going to work and you have to let go of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it sounds like you've got you certainly will not, struggle for due to lack of determination.
Yeah.
So that's very inspiring to witness. You know?
Well, thank you so much for that. And obviously it's been great to get the sort of new investors in, and our focus really is now on the sort of visibility and making sure that we get people using sustainably, which is what it's all about.
Well, and the website is
sustainably.co.
Yes.
Visit sustainable.co
today. And the app's available on the app stores, and it's dead easy to set up.
Easy to set up.
How much you want to donate and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And start having a positive impact today.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I'll let you have the last word. And that sounded a bit like a last word, but what else would you like to close on?
Yeah, I think obviously there's a real sort of moment in time where we are now at that stage where we have to really think, what are we doing? How are we living our lives? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we actually be more sustainable? And, you know, it's definitely been an eye opener for me in this last year, being in the pandemic in particular, thinking a lot more about my footprint, you know, kind of how am I living? What am I doing? All the impacts of everything. If I can in any way help inspire other people to do that, and if the Sustainably app makes it easier, then, you know, give a try, let us know. We'd love to get your feedback.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Laurel. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thanks so much, Tom. Great to be here.
Bye for now.
Bye.